Welcome to Dietitians Uncorked, a podcast hosted by Kat and Kelly, two registered dietitians who co-founded Nutriving, a virtual nutrition practice. We talk all things food, nutrition, life, and of course, wine. This is a judgment-free zone where all foods fit and all bodies are welcome. Thanks for listening. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Dietitians Uncorked. We are so glad you guys are here. This is an episode about hydration, which we believe is very important. And before I get to it, I want to tell you guys about our group program. You guys, if anyone has been listening to our podcast for a little bit, you might have heard us talk about it. But the reason why I bring it up is because it's available now. It's very affordable and it's a kind of work at your own pace. If you have internet access, you can do this. And we want to help you with not just the content that we feel is important to make a nutrient dense plate and to create habits that can help your health today and tomorrow, but also with the emotional part of trying to make changes. It is difficult to be proactive and stay active and stay mindful of the changes that you want to make every day to take care of yourself. So we want to support you there. Kelly and I are drinking water because that is what we're talking about. We decided not to drink wine in an effort to hydrate ourselves. Anyway.
Very appropriate, you know?
Very appropriate. How are you doing, Kelly?
I'm well today. How are you?
I'm good. So, we have a blog post about dehydration. So if any of this feels like you can relate to as far as the symptoms, there's a quiz that we have and it's really fun. You get to answer questions and see whether you're dehydrated or not, because we should all know. So, why are we talking about dehydration? Kelly, do we talk about this with our clients? I'm just curious.
Absolutely. No, for sure. I mean, you and I made this beautiful hydration score with our Canva situation. Because it's really important. And I feel like people sometimes, you know, I feel like it's not super common to kind of track your hydration, you know. I feel like when I've tried to do that, I start in the morning and then I kind of lose track and then I really have no idea. So I've found that similarly with clients, people don't always have a good idea of how much water they're drinking, which is why it's important to understand other signs of dehydration. So that's definitely something you and I talk about for sure in our one-on-one sessions, I know, since we created our protocol together, but also in our new group program, we have an entire week on hydration.
Hey yo, and I lead that video.
It's
really exciting. It's very, I mean, you'll see me dancing. I come in dancing, and then I have a moment like a J-Lo where I just like pull a string and then water. No, I'm just kidding. That doesn't happen, but it would be cool. And if enough of you sign up, maybe I will do it. You know, who knows?
Maybe we'll have the funds.
Okay, so the reason why we want to talk about dehydration, it seems like a no-brainer, but besides the sort of dry lips or dry skin, the constant feeling of thirst, there are other symptoms that you may not know about, like feeling irritable, feeling tired, urinating less than, you know, than usual. There are other symptoms that might not be as obvious to most people, and we want to kind of talk about it. So, Kelly, walk us through a little bit of the dangers of dehydration.
Sure. So as Kat just mentioned, some of the earlier symptoms that you might notice, which more of us may relate to, you know, feeling really thirsty, maybe feeling lightheaded, getting a headache, reduced, you know, urination, everything she just went through. But if it's persistent, like we continue to be in a dehydrated state, other things that can happen that people aren't always aware of are an elevated resting heart rate, lower blood pressure, your breathing, your cadence of breathing can change and become more rapid. And then ultimately it gets super dangerous, right? If you're continuing to be dehydrated and you're not getting a source of hydration in, this can lead to confusion, lethargy, and this is really dark, but of course we can die from dehydration. So if you're in a situation, hopefully this never happens to anyone listening, but where you have a prolonged period of dehydration, that can certainly lead to death. Dark. That was really dark.
Yeah, very dark. This hydration took a turn for the dark. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this goes to our next point, that we need water. You know, the reason why we focus on hydration is not just because we all want plump, beautiful skin. It's because this is a part, an element that we need to be aware of. And it's a daily thing. Our hydration status will fluctuate at any given time of the day. And so having the understanding of how important water is really imperative for our health status. And all of that Kelly just said, I mean, it is dark, but it sort of highlights the importance of water. Our hydration status changes every day. This is an element that we need to be aware of and understand our own hydration needs, because this is a daily practice. Water is important to regulate our body temperature. It is also essential for transporting nutrients and oxygen to our cells. It helps flush toxins and waste products from the body. I mean, we see changes in how hydrated we are based on urine. And this is the reason why, you know, if our urine is too concentrated, we might be experiencing dehydration. So in order to keep our body from becoming dehydrated, we need to be aware of how much water to consume.
I find that it's definitely not uncommon for people not to have a real grasp over like why water is important, why hydration is important. I think we all know that, right? But to actually be able to understand the why behind it, like what you just explained, I think that's something that, you know, it's not like we learn it in school. Just with many nutrition concepts, most of us are not learning a lot of that in school. So when working with clients, I think, you know, I've seen this for sure, and you can speak to your work as well, but I feel like people generally don't have a good grasp over like why we need water. And they also can think like, oh, well, I don't really drink water. Like maybe I drink coffee, maybe I drink tea, and that provides some hydration. And then we also can get some water from food. But I think sometimes people think, well, I don't really drink a lot of water and I'm fine. So what does it do, you know?
Yeah, it's really crazy when I've had clients who we've talked about water and they're not really drinking any sometimes, like no water, just pure water, nothing. And we start adding a cup or two as an initial step, because this requires some sort of presence of mind, right? If this is not something you're used to actually doing, you need to start getting into the habit of doing it. So you need to create a completely new, maybe habit forming or just routine around water. And it is crazy, the results to me as the dietitian sort of watching this journey, that people that might just add one cup of water, like in the morning, how it makes them feel. And it usually is sort of like, I have more energy, I feel more awake, I, you know, digestive wise, I'm having a noticeable difference in the positive sense. It's crazy. I also, you know, our kidney patients, you and I have both worked in the renal world, and they know how important water is. They absolutely know, because if your kidneys are not working very well, you're unable to produce urine, and it's a whole thing. So for all of us who have working kidneys, I'm forever thankful for my kidneys, and water is important.
Yeah, and you can see that too reflected in patients' labs. So if you're going to the doctor, you know, it's something to bring up with them and just ask, you know, can you talk me through the hydration related labs? Because I have certainly had clients who come in drinking, you know, as you said, basically no plain water throughout the day. And then they start incorporating that, you know, feeling a lot better, but you can also see it on the inside, you know, through their lab work, which is huge.
Totally. That BUN creatinine ratio, you know?
Exactly.
It's just a given. They can't hide their dehydration from us.
Right. It's a window inside.
That's right.
So let's move into some common reasons for dehydration. So especially in the summer, you know, heat exposure, strenuous physical activity, especially if those two things are combined, that can definitely get us into a situation where you're at risk to become dehydrated. So when the body becomes overheated, sweating is a mechanism that we can use to try to cool down. So you're losing water content through sweat because of those conditions. If you're not replacing the sweat by drinking fluids, that's when dehydration is going to occur.
Also, you can become dehydrated for having some vomiting or diarrhea issues. So sometimes this can happen when you get some sort of flu or virus and people are not really taking into account how much fluids they are losing through diarrhea and vomiting. And that can cause some issues with dehydration where you might end up actually needing to get IV fluids. So it is important to replace your fluid loss and also electrolyte loss when that is something you're having to deal with, which is really, it's not a fun situation.
Mm-hmm. So sources of water, of course, water itself, but you also have some water content in other liquids like milk, juice, soups, for example. So depending on who you're talking with, they might be like, no, none of that counts. Like you can only drink straight water, but that is not true because there is water content in other beverages and even some foods. So there are some fruits and vegetables that have a very high water content. So like cucumbers, celery, lettuce, watermelon. If you think about like a really juicy watermelon, taking a bite into that, like having a good slice. Mm. It is hydrating. I know, right? It is hydrating. And you do feel a sense of like quenching your thirst after that. And that's because, as it's said in the name, watermelon, has a very high water content. So we can get water from foods and other, you know, liquids aside from just pure water.
Absolutely.
When one thing to keep in mind, if you are, you know, consuming soups or juices, obviously it's not just water. So you also have other nutrients, including sodium and sugar content. So that's something to keep in mind when you're looking at your overall dietary pattern. You know, it's not ideal to get all of your water content, for example, from soups and juices. So we want to make sure you're incorporating actual water, also water-rich, you know, fruits and vegetables, and then knowing that soups and juices are an option too.
Absolutely. Sodium is something to kind of take note of when it comes to hydration. We have a whole episode on salt. I believe we touch a little bit on hydration in that episode. But I do want to let you know that if you are, let's say you're having soup and it is very high in sodium, even though it is a form of liquid and it does have water, it may not be the most hydrating source depending on the sodium. And the reason for this is because sodium sort of pulls water from the body into the vascular system, which can cause some changes in your blood pressure. And so if you're having something that's very high sodium, and this is just a little PSA, whenever you do eat out, no matter if the food tastes salty or not, usually the sodium content is quite higher compared to anything you might make at home. And so if you are having something that is processed or something from a restaurant or something that you can put in a microwave and have it ready, just remember to keep your hydration in mind and drink a little extra water just to help with that concentration of sodium in the body. And like I just mentioned, even though some things might be in the liquid form, they may not be the most hydrating items. There are two more things that are good examples of this, and one of them is coffee.
Right. So coffee is made of water. Obviously, anyone who's made coffee, right, you're putting the beans in, but you're also putting a lot of water. So there is a high water content in coffee. But coffee also has a diuretic effect, which just means it makes us urinate more frequently. So, you know, the diuretic effect is not super drastic, but it's something to keep in mind, because if you're drinking coffee essentially all day, I definitely know, you know, have had clients or know people who love coffee, right? And that might be their primary drink, which is not inherently bad, but again, coffee does have a diuretic effect. So if you are drinking coffee, especially, you know, the majority of the day, you want to make sure you're counteracting that with actual water as well, so that you're not getting into a state of dehydration.
Absolutely. Alcohol is another dehydrating liquid. It is a diuretic as well, just like coffee it is, and it travels through our bodies faster compared to other liquids. So if you've ever had been out drinking with some friends and you realize that you're making more trips than normal to the bathroom, this is a diuretic effect. And a good rule of thumb, which I'm not sure we've actually talked about this. I was going to say we've talked about this, but maybe not. That if you're having a couple of drinks, that is important to have water in between those alcoholic drinks just to prevent a little bit of that dehydration. Usually that horrible headache that you might get after a night of a lot of drinking, part of that can be a result of dehydration. So keep that in mind when you're out drinking.
It really does help. Makes you feel a lot better the next day.
Yeah, totally. And to calculate water needs, there are several formulas. But if you want to know our formula, we won't tell you here. You're going to have to go to our group program, and then I'll show you what our formula is. We do actually get into that in our group program, and I think it's a good thing to know kind of there are maybe better ways with more specialized equipment to know exactly your hydration status. However, there are some formulas that have been very useful to know maybe a ballpark of what your hydration needs are, how many cups per day you should be consuming on an individual level. So anyway, if you're curious, go to our group program and find out.
Shameless plug. And, you know, there's a lot of formulas out there, as Kat said, but another thing that's good to just understand and kind of keep in mind is that you can monitor your own hydration status by understanding a few classic, you know, signs of dehydration and being able to pay attention to that in your own body. So one of the easiest ways to tell if you're dehydrated is by monitoring the color of your urine. So a healthy urine should be like a light yellow straw color. And if your urine is darker than this, that's a pretty good indicator that you're on the way to dehydration. Like, you need to step it up to avoid some of those other symptoms we talked about, like headache, you know, fatigue, lethargy, lightheadedness. So the urine color is a very easy thing to pay attention to and a good like first indicator, so you can try to turn things around a little bit.
Absolutely. Kelly, I'm curious, we've both worked in hospitals and we've seen very, very ill people. Have you seen some crazy colored urines before?
You mean like the dark amber color? Yeah, for sure.
It's wild. That little oh my God.
Container.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Not
like maple syrup type color.
Yeah, and you're like, that
for our listeners
is not normal. Mm-hmm. So if that is coming out of your body, please seek medical help.
Yes, immediately,
like as soon as possible. But the dark color urine, I mean, that's so easy to spot. And if you think about it, like when you wake up first thing in the morning, that first urine, usually it's fairly dark unless yep. you've been hydrating at night. This is why mm-hmm. having a glass of water in the morning is so important, because we've had a long period of time of not consuming liquids unless you were up all night like I was last night.
Totally. And that's a good point. So when you look at your first urination of the day, that should, you know, if you are hydrating regularly throughout the day, your first urination should be the darkest color. So if it's not getting lighter, that's a good signal to you that you got to step it up.
Yep, for sure. Another indication is decreased urination. And I don't know about you, but I don't count how many times I go to pee. I know I have to, and I don't have a head count. But if you do have a head count, or you kind of know, just so you guys know, the average number of times that people urinate during the day is usually 6 to 8. Could be more depending if you're consuming a lot more liquids or if you're drinking alcohol, you might go over that number, but that's kind of the normal amount. I don't know if, do you like John Mulaney?
I do. I've watched, I feel like I've learned about him through you as many things in my life, but I know I've watched some clips. Maybe I did watch a special on Netflix.
But yeah, I think he
related to
he does. So he's trying to get medication because he has anxiety, and so mm-hmm. what he's trying to do is go to the doctor and say I get anxious on airplanes, but instead of doing that, he just doesn't want to, I don't know, maybe admit to the fact that he has anxiety about this. So he talks about how he has frequent urination. And the doctor asks him, like, how many times a day do you urinate? And gosh, I don't remember exactly. I wish I would have pulled it up before saying all this. But he says a crazy number, like 22 or something insane. And so the doctor is, like, really worried about his prostate and just, like, general health, you know. Anyway, 22 is too much. So 6 to 8 is kind of the normal amount of going to the bathroom. And so if you see sort of a slow decrease where it's been several hours where you have not had to go to the restroom, maybe it's time you drink a little water.
I don't think I count either, but I would be curious to know.
Me too.
I drink a lot of water and also pee a lot.
You definitely do. You definitely. Kelly drinks an amount of water that I try to keep up with, you know, to be like, hey, we're going to be healthy and just be hydrated. My body can't. It cannot handle the amount of water that Kelly's body can handle.
I have more height, though, so, like, there's more space for it to go. So I don't think that's a fair comparison. But I did think, like, when we learned about diabetes, you know, in grad school, that whole section of class, I was like, I have diabetes. I am so thirsty and I pee all the time, but
yeah,
I don't have diabetes. I've had it checked many times. I'm just real thirsty.
Friends, if you're listening to this, you're like, what diabetes? Well, a few symptoms of diabetes is if you have increased urination or increased thirst, and a lot of people who have diabetes and don't know it yet, sometimes will drink a lot of juice or soda without not knowing that their body is just asking for water to sort of flush out the mm-hmm. concentration of glucose that's going on in the blood. So you tell a couple dietitians who drink a lot of liquids and we are all paranoid.
Panic city.
Yes, totally.
Another sign to pay attention to is if you suddenly notice that the odor of your urine has become intense, like very strong, just different than usual, that can be a sign that you are dehydrated. So typically, again, that first urine of the day is going to be a little bit darker because most of us have not been drinking water overnight. It can also have a little bit more pronounced of a smell than the rest of your urination as you're drinking water throughout the day. But smell, again, is something to pay attention to. So if that smell becomes very different or like noticeably stronger, that's a potential sign of dehydration. It's all about the urine, yes. Really.
It really is. It is all about the urine. Besides the, you know, the skin and the dry lips and all that. But I mean, those are very easy ways of finding out whether right. you're dehydrated.
They're
kind of
like the earliest ones, typically.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. So if you're having a headache, you just haven't been feeling well, and then you go to urinate and you have a strong odor, a dark color, and you just peed for the first time after like half the day. Yeah, that might be the culprit there. So what happens if you don't like water? And we get asked this all the time, especially for those who just are not used to adding water to their regular routine. That's totally okay. We just have to find a way to find sort of instances where water becomes appealing. And this can be done through many things. But I think first is like the mindset. Like water is important. You need it for your health. So being open-minded to maybe adding mint to your water, that can be really refreshing. Cucumbers can be like a fancy, you know, spa treat for yourself. Adding berries to the bottom of a cup, maybe like smashing them a little bit and then adding some water can be a kick of sweetness on top of the antioxidants and the vitamins that you can find in berries. A splash of juice. I've suggested this to clients and they're like, what? You're telling me to hydrate and you're telling me to add juice? And it's like a very alarming thing. But if you think about it, if you're only adding a little bit of juice just to have some flavor to your water, it's mostly water and we mm-hmm. are, you know, on the right track to maybe making this less of a burden and more something that you actually enjoy throughout the day.
For sure. I think those changes, especially for people who are not, you know, used to consuming as much water, that can make it a lot more appealing because it's not just plain water. You have some flavor that you enjoy. Another thing that has actually helped a lot of clients that I've worked with is getting a water bottle that they really like. And this mm-hmm. can sound kind of silly to talk about, but it really can make a big difference. Because if you have, I don't know if you've experienced this, Kat, but there are some water bottles that I've tried that I just feel like the water tastes weird. Like it's totally. Not appealing. And if you feel that way, of course, you're going to drink less water because it's not a pleasurable experience. So finding one that you like and that the water tastes good to you, you know, whatever that means, whatever type of material like works best for you. Also just like visually, you know, how the water bottle looks can make a difference for people.
Oh, for sure. I tell people all the time, like if you have an ugly water bottle that you don't like, trust me. You don't want to drink water from that. You look at it and you're like, ew. Like, it's not appealing. It's not something that draws you to. So if we're trying to overcome barriers, having an ugly water bottle is it's a bigger barrier than I think we realize. In the same sort of topic when it comes to water bottle, temperature sometimes can be really important for some people. And so if you can get yourself a water bottle that can keep your water very cold, that might make it a lot more enticing for you to have a sip of water if it's very cold. Or if it's a hot day and you want some mint tea or herbal tea and you really want that to be hot or warm to sort of warm your body up, those are important factors to consider. Maybe tap water that's just lukewarm, it just doesn't do it for you. And that's okay. That's not being difficult. That's just you're acknowledging your preferences.
So we've talked a lot about different ways to incorporate water, you know, being open to trying adding mint or berries. Maybe you're, you know, hopping on the club soda train. Maybe you're adding a little bit of juice to the water, doing herbal teas, thinking about the temperature. Like these are all ways to increase your hydration that maybe sometimes people don't think about because they're just like, no, I need to have straight water. But that's not true because there are a lot of other options. And it's really about finding what works best for you and what helps you kind of increase your hydration gradually until it becomes more automatic, just part of your day-to-day routine. You don't have to think about it so much.
Absolutely. We got to remember that our body is a very complex, weird, very smart and intuitive kind of machine, and it needs water to function properly. That's just the truth. And so if we're paying a little closer attention to these essential elements that make up our health, water is one of them. And it's important that we consider that in our day to day, making those small changes. And also just knowing that potentially, if there is a risk for dehydration, like being ill or being in a place that's very hot or exercising a whole lot or you're sweating more than usual, take care of yourself, you know, have that little extra glass of water. That's important.
For sure. So we hope this has been a helpful episode. I think sometimes it's just a topic that we maybe don't pay enough attention to. We're always talking about the foods that we're eating and all of that, but hydration is a really big part of the picture. So we hope this episode helped maybe give you ideas or clarify things that maybe you were confused about or didn't understand. And as Kat said, we do have that blog on our website, www.newtriving.com. So you can play that dehydrated quiz if you'd like some more information. Also, if you just prefer to read information, a lot of what we went through today is in that format as well. So we appreciate you tuning in today. We will have a brand new episode for you next week. So we will catch you then.
We'll see ya.
Bye.